He died during the Battle of the Bells of an excess of gallantry and an axe. Hello and welcome to Two Champs and a Chomp, a Game of Thrones LCG podcast founded in 2010 by Will Lentz, myself, Brett Zeiler, and Greg Atkinson. Major props go out to FFG for putting out a great game, George R. R. Martin for an amazing product, Card Game DB for our hosting, and Josh Woodward to the Creative Commons licensed music you hear today. Welcome to Season 3.
So, yeah, who was that talking about again?
Oh, that was Littlefinger about Dennis Aaron.
Who the hell was Dennis Aaron?
I don't know, some random Aaron.
Weird. I wonder I don't remember.
I thought the quote was funny.
Yeah, no, it was pretty decent. Just didn't remember who it was.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Daryl knows exactly who he is. Daryl, tell us all about Dennis Aaron.
Well, you see, Dennis Aaron was John Aaron's buddy who was a pro something.
Wrestler.
Shit. Yes.
Yeah. Strangely, wrestler. Was not related despite the same name. Same last name.
Yeah, no. Not related at all.
It was actually like an ancient, like, lubed up wrestling as well.
Oh, Greco-Roman then.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Roman, all right.
Yeah. It was very Roman, if you know what I mean.
I'm afraid I don't.
I mean, they wore togas. What else would it mean, Will?
What of it?
They hung out in vomitoriums.
Exactly.
What the hell is a vomitorium? I know what it sounds like. I just hope that's not what it is.
I mean, that's kind of the urban myth sort of history, that it was this room they would hang out in to vomit. I don't believe that was actually accurate, but I forget exactly what it really was, though.
Come to the vomitorium.
Yeah. As Will said, the historical urban legend was that after their fantastic binges, fantastic food orgies, they'd purge themselves in the vomitorium to go back for more.
Welcome to Two Champs and a Chump, listeners, where you can get your weekly dose of Roman history. We're changing the podcast.
I mean, also, we're going to talk about vomit a lot.
Yeah. Daryl's like actually really into it. So, what do we got this week? No exciting news out of the FOG headquarters, which is kind of sad.
No, hasn't been much.
Last week we had a boatload to talk about with the latest spoiler article, but we'll just have to wait. Aside from... go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, Gen Con signups are still going on.
Yep, still going on. I think there were 35 signed up for Melee and 55 for Joust a moment ago, right before I bought my tickets, which I have finally done. So I guess I could just add those.
Add one.
Yeah, go to 36 and 56. But that's still only about half. So get out there, pre-register, go to Gen Con, guys. It's still going to be a friggin' blast, even though it is not officially Worlds. It's just Continentals now, which I think most folks are still going to say is a fairly prestigious title.
I have no idea. Does anyone remember anyone who won Melee in any event ever?
I remember three people that won Melee.
I remember several. Yeah.
Brett Zeiler.
I'm one of them.
Jonathan Benton.
He's one of them.
And Charlie Wheeler.
But I don't know who that is.
I specifically remember Charlie Wheeler because he was the first Melee champ that was supposed to get to design a card, and he got screwed and never has gotten to design his card.
Oh.
Wow. Oh. That is a bummer.
Yeah.
Well,
so hey, I mean, you guys can say you designed as many cards as a champion.
Yeah, exactly. Whee! More if you count all the fantasy cards I've designed.
True. I don't.
I have designed quite a few fantasy cards as well.
It's a good feeling, isn't it? So, Gen Con, sign up.
Gen Con, sign up. Even though I'm not going to do it. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. It's a bummer. We'll all miss Brett. We'll look forward to seeing him at Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
That's
all the FFG news that I've seen, at least. Nothing really has jumped out at me recently.
Same here. You know, something else has jumped out at me, so to speak. Just kind of reached right out and slapped me in the face, actually. So, I'm listening to some other podcasts. Probably no surprise to anybody that's heard me talk before. I listen to a number of other LCG podcasts, and I happen to listen to the other Game of Thrones podcast.
Yeah, why would you do that?
I don't know. That's a really good question. You know, trying to make it through Dark Nodge's thick Canadian accent it's tough. It's a slog, let me tell you.
It disgusts me, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. And Tiny, you know, I don't know what's up with that guy. But Tiny Grimes, obviously not his real name.
No. Nope.
Why is he hiding it? Who is he really?
Hang on.
Could be the Sultan of Brunei, for all I know.
I'm going to change my name to Large.
Large Grimes.
Yep. Large Grimes.
That's a good idea, but I don't know if you should just copy the Grimes part as well. Maybe you should go with, like, Large Stain. Similar meaning, but...
Or Muck. Large Muck.
Large Muck.
Yes.
That sounds like the new Daryl.
Doing it.
You know, he might as well just go whole hog and jump straight into Reek.
There we go.
But anyway, so I'm listening to those guys, and it sounds like they're putting forth a challenge here, for a face-off, if you will.
Just like that movie?
Yes, yeah.
Never heard of it.
I think we would be Travolta in this case. I'm not sure, mainly because I can't recall who the other person was.
Nick Cage.
And Nicolas Cage, really.
Jeez, how do you not remember
the Star Wars movie?
Greatest actor of our time.
Sorry, I tend to block Nicolas Cage movies other than Gone in 60 Seconds out of my mind.
That's
my God. Con Air is an American treasure.
Drive Angry.
Speaking of treasure, he was also in National Treasure.
Yes.
Boom. Conversation.
Yes, he was. So, Roman history and Nicolas Cage fan club. We're going to some dark places this week. But anyway, so I think they want to challenge us to a game, our best against their best via Octagon, stream that action, have some commentary. I think what this world really needs is Daryl doing commentary for a streamed game online.
Oh, let's do it. That would be great. Although, can I play and do commentary?
I don't know. You might be telegraphing some of your moves to
the chat. It'll be fine. Wouldn't it be great if I played Game of Savas, like, as soon as you kneel that character? Man, that's what I got to do to get myself back into this game.
Yeah, what a joke. You wouldn't be playing Game of Savas. No one plays that card anymore.
No, not since it betrayed me back in 2010.
Not many. There's a few.
I was also going to say not since, you know, it got restricted.
Yeah, no, I know what you meant. But if I remember right, that was Jeremiah's restricted card over in Iowa when he won.
Really?
Yeah.
I hadn't realized he'd won a regional.
Yeah. He finally took one down. Let me scroll down here and look. Yep, Game of Savas.
Oh, neat.
So there you nice. Go. Now that we've digressed, I guess it's on. I don't know when exactly.
Sure.
We'll have to figure out some scheduling difficulties. I don't know. My guess is we'll probably need to do it sometime when all of us can meet up in person. I don't know. It may be easier to manage commentary if all the commenting guys can be, or as many as possible, can be together. But I don't know. So
that'd be fun.
we'll figure something out. There's definitely some logistics to...
Absolutely.
That's right. Balls in your court, guys. Podcast that will remain unnamed.
Did I honestly not mention their name?
You get the horns.
Maybe I
did. I don't think you did, actually.
Oh, I got distracted. My apologies. It is Summer is Coming. Also, one of the Card Game DB podcasts. we can give them crap because they're like family, right?
That's right.
Filthy Canadian family.
Hey, they're only half Canadian. The other half's California, which might be worse.
Probably.
Yeah.
You guys, that sounds... Is it nationalist? Is that a such thing?
Regionalist.
Regionalist, yeah. Notice, California, Canada, both abbreviated CA.
It's a conspiracy.
I'm not accusing them of a conspiracy, but there definitely is one.
They're actually the same place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop putting mayonnaise on your cheeseburgers.
What?
That's
it
what
really bothers Daryl.
Or is it mayonnaise on French fries?
I'm pretty sure it's mayonnaise on French fries.
Probably.
Okay.
Lots of cheeseburgers have mayonnaise on them.
Yeah. Wait a second.
They do that here.
Kristen does that.
Yeah.
Oh, my
so
God, Bill.
I've watched him do it.
I think both of them are part Canadian.
Yeah, that would explain Kristen's random northern accent. Not as thick as Dark Hodges, but, you know.
Hey, guys, are we ever actually going to talk about Thrones this episode?
Probably not. I'm going to try and trim some of the BS tomorrow. It's going to be tough.
Okay. Most of it.
We're not going to have a show. It'll be an intro, a quote, and props and slops.
Yep.
We trimmed the fat.
Yeah. So speaking of trimming things, I need to trim some listeners' memory here in our discussion last week about... the newly revised Jack and Hagar. I did misspeak. I guess my memory was playing tricks on me. Unfortunately, cannot be killed and cannot be discarded are just like a standard card text and not a keyword. However, immunities are keywords. So for 99% of all of your intents and purposes, grabbing immune to opponent's card effects a la Cat of the Canals is going to get you set for everything you would have wanted either of the cannot bees.
Yep, pretty much the only thing you have to dodge is military claims, specifically something like Pyat Pri, who can...
That could be intrigue claim, too, on Pyat.
True, yeah, yep. Doesn't matter which, as long as he's going alone.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that will still ruin your... Jack and Hagar, who was immune to opponent's card effects day.
Yep. You know, interesting thing about immunities and Jack and Hagar, there's been a discussion going on Card Game DB, and I'm 99% sure of how this is going to play out. And, I guess maybe it'll wind up needing addressed in the FAQ, but there's this big hoopla about whether it needed addressed or not, because... some people are basically arguing that there's not really anything in the game right now stopping you giving, say, immune to claim or immune to phase changes or something like that. These variations on immunity that don't exist in the current card pool, which I frankly found kind of ludicrous. You can go read.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's kind of outrageous.
Sometimes over the top responses to several folks who were generally being far more reasonable than myself. But I just wanted to make people aware of that. I'm dead certain it will be ruled just like traits. I can't use Old Nan to turn someone into a Daryl Lloyd.
Well, here's my question, though: can you give him the text? No attachments except weapon.
Yes.
Yep.
My argument is any of those that are printed on a card right now are their own keyword. So, like, no attachments is one keyword. No attachments except weapon is a second keyword.
No attachments except a single weapon.
Yes, is yet another different keyword. Other folks would make the argument that no attachments... is a keyword, and then you fill in the blank with whatever you want. So you could make up no attachments except condition.
Title.
Or title, yeah, or whatever, which I very much doubt is the case.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it probably does need an entry in the FAQ. Is there an FAQ entry specifically saying that you have to use like traits that are printed in the game?
I believe there is. That's what someone, I think Dan Agrol was saying.
Okay.
And despite me finding it ludicrous, I will at least, you know, come down off my high horse enough to say, okay, go ahead and put it in the FAQ.
Okay. I mean that's a good point. I mean, if there is a precedent, then I guess technically, me being me, I have to rule that you can't give immunity to things that aren't printed in the game until we hear otherwise. I didn't realize there was a precedent set.
For traits, yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah. But I think, speaking of Jakken, though, I think Daryl had some other Jakken-related stuff he wanted to talk about.
Daryl loves Jakken.
Wait, what?
You know, Jakken.
Yeah.
Well, here's one thing that I was looking at that I had noticed, and which was after we had first talked about the card on the show.
So Jakken, basically, your opinion of him has gone up quite a bit since we were talking last week.
Well, I was going to say that a little bit, not by a ton, but what I was also going to point out is that he is non-unique.
Yeah, I saw
is that on purpose?
I'm almost completely certain that that is not on purpose.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that it would actually be kind of cool in a Nedley sense, and potentially brings his power level down. Some, which may or may not be good, I don't know. I think the biggest reason to think it's a typo is just the fact that there's still the Shadows version, which is unique, and having both a unique and a non-unique version of the same card by title would cause some really screwed up rules situations. So, yeah, I think it's a bad idea, unfortunately. All
right. I thought that was kind of cool, but yeah, other than that, it dawned on me, I guess I should say, that he could be used for all the sweet ass, in-house events.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was pretty cool. So like whenever Into the Breach drops and all that cool stuff.
Yeah. I mean, off the top of my head, Into the Breach is going to be pretty rocking with him. Ambush from the Plains will work with him.
Snag him right? back.
Blood for Blood.
Blood for Blood, potentially. Heck, even Lannister pays his debts.
So there is utility to be had with him, but I still don't like the idea of discarding power off your house for the ability. But I get it, because if it were cards from your hand, they would probably have to put a limit on it. So this way you could give him whatever amount of keywords you want. You could discard 15 power off your house or whatever.
You could. I mean, if you're playing three Wild Legends, you could discard 20 power off your house if you're the 21 and the 21, but...
Yeah.
Why not? 20
keywords. I tend to agree with Daryl. I think he's all right. The only deck that I think would absolutely slot him in is like a Lannister or Brotherhood Infamy deck. I don't know if you guys mentioned that last week. That's the first thing that jumped to my mind when I saw him.
Yeah, we did mention that a little bit. He's pretty much perfect in that situation
to
chuck power off your house. And if you still don't have some other infamy card and you know you're going to get more power, you can chuck a power from your house and give him infamy to keep collecting other power on your house card.
Absolutely.
Or, sorry, on him instead of your house card.
Yeah. And you could bring him back with Mel's Scheme. What?
You can.
Yep.
Oh, that's
potentially Dale if he gets discarded. Yep.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's more use there than I had first recognized.
Yeah, but having all those house affiliations is also going to allow for some really cool stuff.
It just sucks that you got to get rid of power for his ability to go off.
Yep.
Dang.
So we're kind of way behind here by a few weeks, but Brett has finally made his glorious and triumphant return to the show.
Yes.
and hasn't had the chance to regale us with any stories or insights from his time at the Missouri Regional.
I have not. You're correct. Well, I'll try to keep it fairly short and concise, although knowing us, it'll probably go on for 3 hours.
Certainly possible.
So I assume Daryl mentioned it when you guys were talking about it, that he and I both played Greyjoy TLV Choke, maybe 5 to 10 cards difference, just from cards that Daryl just physically didn't own. Some of the older stuff, like Tobia Krakens and stuff.
Gotcha.
But so pretty much, I mean, just pretty much a standard Greyjoy Choke with Greyjoy Aggro mixed in. It was fairly similar to, I believe his card game DB name is actually Greek Guy. He's a Greek guy, I guess.
Really?
He won the Greek Nationals with the Greyjoy TLV Choke deck, and I was chatting with him some about it. My initial deck list was some different than his. I was playing like Captured Cogs and stuff in my first deck, and he really turned me on to those cards, and they are absolute money, by the way.
Best card in the game, Captured Cog. Yep,
they're surprisingly good.
So I love that card. I threw it in the deck that I played a little bit, and then that Kristen wound up playing. Mm-hmm. It's money.
Yep, that card is absolutely fierce. So I mean, nothing too terribly shocking, just a lot of good Greyjoy cards, as TLV decks tend to be, just a lot of good house, whatever you are playing cards.
Wait, whenever you mean fierce, are you talking about Naval Escort or Captured Cog as being fierce?
Yes. I mean, anyone that said anything against me when I had those cards out, I realized how fierce they were.
Yeah. No, Naval Escort, I could see that being fierce, but Captured Cog is awesome. And whenever with Naval Escort...
I was never upset to see a Captured Cog in any game
at all. Just does a surprising amount of work. For one gold, yeah. You get a lot of payoff there between
absolutely
the two ends of the round there with initiative mm-hmm. and dominance both. Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
So in the tournament itself, my first round was against Kevin Sandman McClure, one of the Springfield stars who's been out of the game for a little while. I haven't seen him play much in the last year or two. But he was playing Lenny TLV. And I was pretty nervous in that game because I don't think I've ever actually beat Sandman before. Like, ever.
Oh, wow.
Like ever.
I mean, I could believe it, though. When he had the chance to play regularly,
he's really good.
A machine. Yep.
So in that game... then this is actually a running theme for most of my games. He got off to a really strong start, but slowly I got my choke off on him. He started out with pretty good like a resource, like a couple of Lanny gold guys. It took me a little while to get rid of. Eventually, it came down to a turn where he Valored, and I had enough saves for it to not really matter. I did something cool with a Kerwin at some point. He flipped a City of Soldiers, and I seen a Kerwin to save one of my more important guys. I don't remember who it was specifically, but eventually I was able to get the choke off on him and ground out the win there. So I was feeling pretty good. Round two, I was playing against Matt Phillips and his Vera Wildlings deck. Again, he got off to a pretty solid start. He had Val and Laughing Storm off of like turn one, so he has drawn three extra cards a turn, and he also had a ton of income, just a ton of income locations. I don't think I ever, I mean, I choked him down by like 3 or 4 gold a turn, but he was still playing whatever he wanted to every single turn. It didn't matter. He had enough going on. But eventually, I mean, again, I just slowly ground him down over the course of the game. The coolest thing that didn't happen in that game, on one turn, I almost, it was like the second or like the second to last turn. I was wanting to get a lot more aggressive and keep up with claim two. So I flipped Winds of Winter, rather than, take them by surprise. Which I wanted pretty much just for the gold, so I could play some more stuff. But I figured the claim two was more relevant. But then he also flipped Take Them by Surprise, but I had initiative bumps with Captured Cogs, and he had decreases with Burn and Pillage and stuff. So I could have made him discard his hand of like 20 cards, which would have been awesome.
Oh man, that's living the dream right there.
Yeah, didn't happen. Should have done it. But you live and you learn. So again in that game. Like I said, eventually I just ground him out on the last turn, or on plot 7, I guess it was, which was also the last turn. He flipped Twist of Fate, and I was able to turn the stuff into military challenges to kill off his Melisandre, which was keeping me from winning the game. I probably had 18 or 19 power at that point, but he had the Corset Melisandre out, so my power, so my like 7 power I had on Asha wasn't counting. But I was able to turn like an extra challenge into military claim that he had to kill. So I got that one. Round 3, I was playing against Ben Terpstra, who eventually placed second in the tournament. And no offense to Benjamin, but I smoked him that game. Like, from turn 1 on, his target Knights of the Hollow Hill deck was just doing nothing. After the game we were talking, he kept an opening hand that had, like, a couple Bay of Ice along with his initiative boost off the agenda, and he had a Meraxes and not much else. And my flop was 2 captured cogs and a river blockade.
Oh. So
the 2 captured cogs just completely negated his initiative buff, and the river blockade stopped him from using his Meraxes because he didn't have any other location abilities to trigger until like turn 3.
Well, and the captured cogs would have shut down the dominance, yeah, or at least trumped the dominance
on Meraxes
too.
Absolutely.
Dang.
Living the dream.
Yeah, way to just shut down his game there.
Yeah, Ben's a great player, so.
Yeah, no, I think he only played, oh yeah, absolutely.
It's
I think
okay
he played one, 2 characters the entire game. Yeah, I rolled him. Yeah, I rolled him in that game. No offense, Ben. You're great, but I annihilated you.
Ben's intended, Ben.
Round,
or great
the offense was absolutely
like a man.
Intended. Yeah. And then round 4, I was playing against Jacob Kern, I believe his last name is, from Tulsa. Is that right, Jacob Kern?
Sounds right.
Yeah, sounds right. He was playing Lanny, Power Behind the Throne. Again, that was another. He was playing Lanny. So he had just a ton of income way, way early. I'm talking like 2 gold roads and an increased levy and like a steward and a weaponsmith. So in that game, I pretty much just didn't play any of my choke cards above what I would normally play. Like a newly made Lord to knock stuff out.
All right, but yeah, so. Mostly was just Greyjoy aggro. I got a Wintertime Marauders going on like turn 2 or so. And mostly I just rode that guy to victory. I think at the end of the game, Jacob had a single card in play, and it was a Street of Silk. And the only reason it was in play was because I couldn't destroy it with Wintertime Marauders. And I just demolished his board with, you know, Military Claim and those Marauders.
Hmm.
Yeah, there was one, I think probably the key turn. He was way ahead in stuff on the board, and I had a bunch of saves, and so as soon as we went to plot the next turn, I literally just grabbed any plot that wasn't Valor. Like, I knew Valor was my very top plot, so I just grabbed a random one out of my plot deck and played it, but I did it like instantly. Like, I just picked it up and knew exactly what I was going for to try to bluff him into thinking I was gonna Valor, so we played his out with that turn. And I didn't Valor. And then I battled the next turn, and then won that turn.
Nice. Playing the mind games.
Absolutely. So after that, I was 4-0, the only undefeated, so number 1 seed going into top 8. So that meant I was playing the number 8 seed in top 8, Dennis Harleyan, also from Tulsa, who was also playing a Vera Wildlings deck, I think, the same as Matt's. I don't know if it was exactly, but they seemed really similar. From playing as both of them at least. And again in that game, he just got none of his, like, resources at all in the early game. And I got my choke off. Like, I think on turn 1 I choked him out 3 gold before marshaled, and he had like 1 gold. And so he was never able to play more than like a dude a turn. Now I just overwhelmed him in like 2 or 3 turns. So yeah, that game wasn't terribly exciting. So then I went into my game against Greg. I was dreading. I was actually really hoping Daryl would win that game, because they said against that, and that it would be a coin flip as to who got their choke first. But I knew that Greg's deck would be pretty rough. And honestly, I think I lost that game for myself on the first turn, when the first thing I did was play White Raven to make it winter, rather than play the newly made Lord in my hand to blow up his narrow seed to keep him from getting dudes out, because I had the first action. And as soon as I did something, the first thing immediately after that, he used the seed, so he was able to start recurring that with Dale. And at that point, I mean, I dragged it out 6 or 7 plots, but after that first run, I knew I wasn't going to win.
Yeah, Dale's a beast.
Yes, that he is. However, I feel pretty good about the deck. My only opponent, aside from Greg when he beat me, my only opponent that had any power on their house at the end of the game was against Jacob in round four, and the only reason he had power left was because he conceded the game before I could steal it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so none of my opponents had any power, and one of them only had one card in play at the end of the game. So the deck was pretty dominant, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a pretty awesome run, really.
Yeah. For the most part, it was pretty good. Here I am, almost 3 weeks later, and I'm still kicking myself for not playing that newly made Lord first against Greg, because I think if I had done that, it would have been an entirely different game.
Yeah. Also, it was a Seat of Power that he was recurring, I think, not the...
He was a narrow seat.
Was it?
Yeah, okay. I could love Seat of Power of Newly Made Lord.
Okay. Oh, that's right. It's limited. You're right. Yeah. My bad, dog.
Yeah, so that one mistake, I think that playing those cards out of order lost me that game. So I'll probably still be kicking myself about that here in a month. But yeah, so there's my regional recap 2 weeks late.
So, yeah, there hasn't been a whole lot of other exciting news at the moment, but the HBO show did wrap up over the weekend.
Yes, it did.
Did you guys both catch the end of that?
I saw it on Monday.
I most certainly did.
So what'd you guys think? Since I asked that, I won't just immediately launch into what I think like I started to. That was awkward.
I think Arya Stark kicks ass.
Yeah, that's true. She does.
The Hound is a little more likable, I think, as well.
Yeah, I loved her interaction with the Hound in that last episode. Next time you tell me about it first. Not don't do it again. Just let me know when you're going to murder someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Hound is really rad.
Oh, I love that. Absolutely.
Other than that, I don't know. I saw a status from someone on Facebook that was like, oh, no Cold Hands. So I guess that Cold Hands was supposed to save Jon Snow or be the one that dropped him off at Castle Black, I'm assuming.
Well, Cold Hands is the one that he rescues Sam and Gilly when they're heading back to the wall. And then immediately after Bran and Mira and company leave, he leads them north.
You know, speaking of that thing, did it bug you, Brett? I won't ask Daryl here since he hasn't read the novel, but did it bug you that there wasn't any sort of gate there underneath?
Yes, absolutely did. I mentioned that to Alicia.
It's just an open, empty tunnel.
Just looking out of the wall. This impervious wall with the giant hole in it.
Yeah, all these wildlings are killing themselves, climbing over the wall to come, raid and eventually assault the Night's Watch and stuff, when they could have marched their entire army slowly underneath the wall.
Yep.
Like, in a castle that even the wildlings know mm-hmm. is bound to be abandoned.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I thought it was super weird, definitely. Alicia's reasoning for it was they're still working off having blown all their budget in the Battle of Blackwater last season, so they still can't afford to do a lot of cool things.
Probably so. I mean, it's not like that would have taken a lot, though, really. I mean, it would have been a prop that they would have made for a door. Or, I mean, at least they could have done it that simply, just a literal prop of a door that they would have had to recite the oath in front of, and then it would swing open or something. I mean, you know, they could mod it a little bit to make it pretty low key, but still not an open, empty tunnel.
Yeah, definitely. Daryl, any other thoughts?
Not particularly. It was an okay episode. Daenerys sure has a giant army, so that's pretty rad.
Her army itself isn't that big. She has a lot of random followers now.
Yeah, all the freedmen.
Yeah.
I really wanted it to end with, is it Jorah that says it in the books? Yes, but how are we going to feed them?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted it to end on that note, but I think they wanted to cheer up the audiences after episode 9.
Yeah. Cynical old Dora wouldn't have won any fans over.
Yeah.
Making us think about reasonable things like that.
I mean, he would have won me over, but I'm a huge... I already liked Jora fairly well in the books, mm-hmm. but, I can't think of the actor's name now.
Ian Glynn.
Yeah. Just friggin' owns it. I love him as Jora. He's perfect.
Yeah, he's an awesome actor. And I like Jora as well, so...
And I could listen to him talk forever, even the way he says Khaleesi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, there's a book on Audible.com that he reads.
Oh, what
is
it?
George R. R. Martin book. It's one of his fantasy novels. And so you can listen to him talk for like 40 hours.
That sounds amazing. I may actually purchase an Audible book.
Yeah, the demo is on there, and it sounds like... It sounds pretty awesome. Listen to him talk about, I don't know, spaceship shit is really cool.
Oh, so it's actually a sci-fi novel.
Yeah, that's what I said. Oh, I said fantasy, didn't I?
Yeah.
Oh, balls. Yeah, it's a sci-fi, sorry. Turbines. Ser Jorah Mormont. That's my Jorah.
It's pretty good, Daryl. It's pretty good.
It's all right.
Daenerys Targaryen.
That was better.
Play with Arash again.
Unfortunately, it does also sound a little bit like your...
My Sean Connery.
Yes, your Sean Connery impression.
Great, you're doing a great job. Sean Connery.
Let's be fair, guys. Eventually, Daryl's impressions all devolve into the same Australian one.
Yeah.
Eventually, they all go Australian. Yeah.
So, season 3 in general... Happy with it? Okay. Still depressed about the Red Wedding?
Yeah, I mean, the Red Wedding didn't bother me at all, but then I was never much of a Stark fan in general, so...
Yeah, I wanted to see more of the Grey Wind / Rob combo.
Mm-hmm.
That was disappointing for me. I wanted to see more of that.
You mean you wanted more of Headless Rob with Grey Wind's head sewn on top of it?
That is exactly what I meant. Yes. Oh. I feel like they didn't show that enough.
Well, okay then.
I wanted to see more of it. I was interested.
If it's what Daryl's into, it's what Daryl's into.
Exactly. Yeah. But I don't know if it was as good as season 2, but...
Yeah, that's my biggest complaint. I liked it, but it wasn't better than season 2 was.
Yeah. I hear you there. But a lot of my favorite stuff from book 3... is stuff that's all coming
next season,
assumably in season 4. So, yeah.
And for God's sake, someone help Theon.
Actually, you know what? That's one thing I will say. Like, I watch a ton of crap that doesn't bother me. Like, Walking Dead, I don't know, any number of other shows on HBO, like, different sex and violence and stuff. But watching Theon's torture... got really fucking old, and I'm sick and tired of it, honestly. Oh, after geez. About one scene. They really only needed to show it in one scene of one episode. It was worthless after that.
I don't know. I liked it just fine. I didn't like it just fine, but it didn't bother me. I liked what it was doing, because, I mean, this way it makes more sense rather than just having Theon pop up in a later book and then just have nothing happening in between. Because, I mean, they obviously can't do his inner turmoil and on the TV show like they did in the novel, so they had to explain how he's going to get there somehow.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it made sense to show it some at some point. I still would argue they showed too much of it. But let's be honest, no one cares for Theon.
Also,
all the viewers would have been happy to have not seen him for 2 seasons.
Probably true.
Well, I don't know. Well, maybe this way you kind of invest a little bit into Theon. You know, I mean,
feel bad for him.
I'm assuming, you know, the character he becomes is going to be fairly interesting, but maybe not. Also, Ramsay is pretty awesome.
I do like Ramsay, actually.
Yeah,
and by awesome, you mean fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, just a very, I can't think of a cool word to come
He's
up
a
with.
Monster?
Well, yeah. But I almost want to say mesmerizing in the most, like, bad way, but like, you know, you don't know what he's going to do. You don't know what he's thinking. You don't know if he is doing this just for fun, if he has a bigger plan, you know, or anything like that. And you don't know what he's going to do next, if he, you know. So that interaction between him and Theon, I think, is fairly interesting.
I wish he wasn't as pretty as he is, because Ramsay's not supposed to be attractive at all.
Yeah, because he went by the name Reek at first, right?
I mean, initially he had a buddy whose name was Reek, and then he pretended to be Reek to escape death, and then...
Okay, that's what it was.
Are they going to explain that later?
I doubt it. I don't think
I'm sure they'll just skip that.
Yeah.
Damn, kind of
like how they skip Strong Dollars.
You know what else did bug me a little bit here at the end?
What else bugged you?
Not a huge thing, but I was a little let down by Stannis' decision to go to the Wall and the way it was handled in the show, because, like, there was very little of the argument that it's the right thing to do actually shown, and it just wound up being, oh, Mel saw a vision, I'm going to go. Which I think kind of...
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was...
Go ahead.
No, I thought it was funny. It's like they're both arguing about how stupid Davos is for suggesting this, and all of a sudden Melisandre turns around and it's like it was her idea the whole time.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah, seconds before, the only thing that mattered to her was getting Stannis on the Iron Throne.
Mm-hmm.
So I was bummed a little bit about that, just because I like Davos and I like Stannis.
I think
that kind of cheapens both of them, that the reason he goes isn't because Davos convinced him that a real king, like the true king, would be looking out for the realm as a whole. But I don't know. What if? Not a huge thing.
No.
I don't know. It could be a little bit bigger, I think, than just not a huge thing, because I mean, at this point, Stannis just seems like a huge dick.
Yeah,
and
he does.
That would have humanized him a little more.
They've just been playing him up as kind of a dick.
I mean, kind of a, like a, not even like powerful, like, he's not even like a powerful person. He's pretty much just Melisandre's bitch.
Yeah, the only person that matters in the entire, like, Stannis realm of the story right now is Mel. No one else's decisions amount to anything, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Staten is a huge fan of Stannis, and it, for guys like me, I guess, that haven't read the book, it's hard to see why you would like Stannis. It's just like, dude, this guy is, He's just a dick, and he just does whatever Mel wants him to do, and he doesn't seem like he would be good for anybody. Seems like Renly was cooler than he was. So I would have liked to see him more.
Renly was cooler than he was. That's why Renly had a bigger army.
Yeah. He was the cool kid. Didn't you watch Game of Thrones High or whatever it was?
Yeah.
I did not.
You didn't?
I watched, like, the first episode, and I was like, eh.
Okay. They're only...
This episode's the best episode.
Yeah, but... yeah.
Greyjoy.
We do not party rock. Love it.
Yeah, it was good.
So, yeah, any other thoughts about the end of season three or season three as a whole?
Yeah.
No, I think I'm pretty well covered. Mainly because, like I said, my favorite stuff's all coming next season.
Also, they decided to mention the Blackfish, but he still has not shown up yet.
The Blackfish was in, like, a bunch of episodes this season, Daryl.
Yeah, he was.
Wait, who is the Blackfish?
He was the older guy hanging out with Robin, Edmure, and Caitlin.
Oh, that's the Blackfish?
Yeah, he's
they don't
Edmure
ever say
and
that, do they?
Cousin? Or his uncle. I don't know why I said cousin.
Yeah, he was at the Red Wedding, right? And didn't he leave?
Yeah.
Oh! No one says that's the Blackfish, though.
I'm pretty sure they do.
Yeah.
They do?
Like
they,
7 episodes.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, my bad.
they definitely mentioned that he's the Blackfish early on.
Also, he wears a Blackfish on his shirt.
I didn't notice that. He's the guy who shoots the arrow, though, right? Like, where...
Yeah, because Edmure can get it.
Oh, that's Edmure. That's right. I remember now.
Yeah. Edmure's... not real good at most anything he does.
At anything at all.
Did they kill him?
No, he's a hostage. No.
Yeah.
In the last episode, they said that he was in the dungeon.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you won't get around to reading the books. It's not a big spoiler. Later on, they take him out and try to taunt the Blackfish with him.
Oh,
to try and get him to give up, but it doesn't work. Run.
The Blackfish ain't no bitch.
Yep.
He is not.
I really like that saying.
The Blackfish ain't no bitch.
Yeah.
Time for a new t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my god, yes. Everyone would buy that.
Daryl would at least buy one.
I would absolutely buy one. The Blackfish ain't no bitch. Whoa, your Tullys don't kneel to attack now? Yeah, the Blackfish ain't no bitch. Love it. Anywho.
Yeah, I mean, most of them, I'm looking forward to next season a lot because there's a lot of good stuff coming, and hopefully they can pick it up a little bit because honestly, like we said earlier, I don't think the season was better than season two, so it's not like I'm going to stop watching. I just kind of want it to get better.
Not enough Littlefinger.
Exactly.
Yeah, there was almost no Littlefinger for the last half of the season.
Tywin's pretty rad, though.
No, I love Tywin.
Oh yeah, he had a lot of very good scenes.
Yeah, what did he say? Like, did you just send the king to his room?
Yeah.
Without any supper.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
That was great.
Yeah. Very cool. Still a great show. Season 3, not as good as 2, but it's still, in my opinion, the best series on television right now.
I'd be hard-pressed to think of a better one.
Are we in props and slops?
I think we are.
Props and slops. Honest or off.
Oh.
Stealing the initiative.
Just had a captured cog.
Well, I have three captured cogs in play. You guys aren't running initiative or dominance against me.
Unless I've got the Iron Throne.
Fair enough. I'm going to prop a new game that was announced at E3 a couple days ago that I didn't really pay attention to until today, actually, called The Division. It's a new Tom Clancy like third-person shooter RPG open-world game, and it looks totally awesome. Until I saw that game, I wasn't really feeling any of the next-gen stuff terribly much. But I'm gonna have to at least get a PS4 for that game because it looks so good. And if you haven't seen the trailer for it, go on YouTube right now and look it up.
Very cool.
I'll need to look that up then.
Yes, I think you will like it.
I have a prop. It's for a new game that is on Kickstarter. It is a game that Eric Lang is developing, or he created, I suppose. It's already out there. Like it's already done, I'm assuming, but yeah. It's on Kickstarter. It is called Chaos Ball or Bowl. I forget.
Chaos Ball.
Okay, I just got to look at it while I was at work, and I just remembered what it was. I wasn't gonna have a proper slop today, but that's it, because it did look pretty sweet for what I could tell so far, and I like a lot of Eric Lang's games, and
I have you're listening one to this, I haven't liked.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this podcast, you played an Eric Lang game before, and
yep.
You should check it out. The guy he's a smart guy. He knows what he's doing. And you should throw some money his way and get his Kickstarter going. That's pretty much all I have to say about it. It's a card game that's like a sports game. It's hard to explain. It just looks really awesome.
I was chatting with Carl from Metadata, and he said it was pretty much Blood Bowl with like the Edge battle system from Star Wars.
Cool.
Yeah,
he does good work, and a lot of people like that kind of genre.
Absolutely. William?
I'm going to continue to throw out some props to the Sandman Slim stuff. I finished reading the second book in that series this week, and it was also quite enjoyable. So we'll see where things go in book three. I feel like the scope of what's going on in those novels gets much bigger, much faster
than
what was going on in Dresden. So it's interesting. And I'm thankful that part of the status quo was reset at the end of book two. I don't want to delve into too spoilerific a territory, but I was worried that Stark was going to keep this major change that he made during that novel. And I was like, well, crap, I don't know if I'll keep reading after this, because he's going to be boring. But they kind of reset that, so I was happy.
Yep. Yeah, the second one's easily the weakest of all of them, so...
Oh, well, that's good to know, because I was still quite entertained by it. Though the death, or at least off-screen disappearance of this person that I thought was, you know, going to be a major supporting character was kind of annoying, but... Again, since it was all off screen, I assume he'll be back in some way, shape, or form.
Mm.
So, yep.
I have one more prop. I don't think I'll have anything else tonight. And I think it's one that Daryl and Will can both echo. It's the Call of Cthulhu card game.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yes.
Daryl picked up a core set to that earlier this week, and I've had a core set lying around for like a year now. I've only played it like once ever. But since then, I opened it back up, and I've been going through the cards, and I'm actually really excited to get into that game.
Another Eric Lang game, by the way.
Yep. It's good stuff. I've had a couple core sets and quite a few expansions and chapter packs for a while now, so I can always loan decks to you guys if need be while you build your collection a little.
And then, actually, I lied, and I do have one immediate slot that's very much related to that. I was looking at ordering some more stuff. For Call of Cthulhu, specifically the Secrets of Arkham expansion and the Silver Twilight expansion, and they are both sold out like everywhere.
Womp womp.
It sucks.
Yeah. But that game, if you haven't played Call of Cthulhu before, tons of awesome combos, tons of gigantic monsters, ancient ones, if you will. Mm-hmm. So it is just a totally different game than Game of Thrones, and you should totally check it out. It's cool.
Yeah, and I don't know if I would say a totally different game, but that's an entirely different discussion to get into.
Oh, yeah, it is. You don't want to start that.
All right, but yeah, I don't have anything else.
Me neither.
Will?
Yep. I think I'm good.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to another fine episode of Two Champs, One Chump. We will see you next week at the same bat time, same bat channel. I don't really feel like saying danger on this episode, guys.
Danger zone!
It's my bedtime, right?
It is your bedtime. Go to bed.
I was going to talk to you. It's almost...
No, I can't talk right now, Kylie. Go to bed. I love you.
Are you talking to your boss?
Yes.
Why is that this for you?
Because I'm going to be talk
fired.
Okay. Bye.
Firing Bye. Daddy. You're never going to have a pony.